We're talking this weekend about growing in our character in Christ. And if you were here yesterday, we talked about things that we're perhaps encouraged to put off, to take away. And as Katie reflected, many of us put things in the rubbish bin and we got rid of them. This morning I just want to spend some time with you talking about the other side, things that we might put on. What does the Bible say about Christian character? So we've got rid of all these things, but what might we replace them with? And I think you've thought about some of them last night, so you'll be able to help me. But what are some of the things that God wants us to put on? What are some of the things that God wants to see reflected in our lives? If we are a follower of Jesus, what might we be marked out by? So if you've got your Bibles, I know some of you have, but you might like to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want us to talk about that verse there this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. I find this is a really helpful verse when I'm trying to think about how I should be living as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. In the first three chapters of Ephesians, just before we get to this verse, Paul has been talking at length about the new society that has been created in Jesus. Because of the work of Jesus on the cross, his burial, his death, and his resurrection, a new society has been formed. Not only has people been changed as individuals because of Jesus being able to transform people's lives through the removal of sin, but Paul tells us there's been these new communities created. There's new ways of living. In the past, people like the Jews and the Gentiles, they would never get on. They would never spend time together. And Paul's been saying that despite the differences, there is a coming together, a unity, a oneness. So that's what he's been talking about. It's a great three chapters. And then right after he's been talking about this, right after he's talked about all that God's done, all that God's created through Jesus, we read this verse here. And in it, he says this, I urge you. That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? He doesn't say, I'd like you to think about, or maybe you could consider. But he says, I urge you. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. He says, I don't want you to lose the way. I don't want you to get confused. I don't want you to go off down the wrong track. He says, I want you to make sure that you're aware that you've been called to this new community. You've been called as a child of God. This is the calling you have. This is the purpose you have. And he says, I want to make sure you live a life worthy of it. I don't want you to get mixed up and to be doing the wrong things. This is what we are to do. And look what he lists. These are the things he lists when he's talking about what it means to live a life worthy of the calling we've received. He lists these. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. That's what it means to live a life worthy of the calling that we have. Let's think about these words. That's a pretty big list, isn't it? That's a pretty hard list, I must admit. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble. What does humble mean? What does it mean to be humble? The word used here in the Bible means it's having a lowliness of mind. It's to have a humble recognition of the value and the worth of other people. Now, you know, in the ancient world, to see humility as a good thing was very strange, very weird. In fact, the Greek and the Roman languages, they didn't even have a word for humility. It wasn't thought to be a virtue or to be something good. But I guess as humans, it's very easy for us to be self-assertive, isn't it? And to get the best for ourselves, for what we want in life. But humility, according to the Bible, is one of the basic fundamentals of being a follower of Jesus. In fact, it's the heart of the Christian faith. Philippians 2 we read, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. I wrote down some words that mean the opposite to humility. Pride, arrogance, assertiveness, pretentiousness, self-importance. But the Bible says, no. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. So the first word on that list, if we are to live lives worthy of our calling, is we've got to be completely humble. Now, this is where I would like your help. This is a camp for people, isn't it, with physical disability. I would love you to discuss in your group for a minute or two. What does that mean? What might be an example in your life where you have to be humble? Where you need to be humble? Now, you might fight it and not like the idea. But how might this apply? I guess it's the application that I'm wanting you to help me with. In the world of physical disability, okay, what would the application be? When are there times, discuss together, when are there times when you need to be humble? That makes sense? Okay, a couple of minutes and then I want to get some feedback. I want you to feedback to me. So 2 minutes, discuss it in your groups. Okay, can I interrupt the conversation there? Humility. Lowliness of mind and the humble recognition of the worth and value of others. I'd love to spend a few minutes discussing that with you together. Anyone brave enough to stand up or bring their chair up the front and grab the mic? What does that mean? What might be an example of a place or a time when we have to put humility on in the world that we live in? Anyone brave enough? Might be a yeah, okay. Pat, is it? Yeah.
I actually work as a support carer 3 mornings a week, and the last 3 years I've probably been sharing a person, but I haven't really enjoyed a lot of it. Yep. And God's just teaching me that, hey, think about the person, how good it is for them to have a share and feel better about themselves. Yep. And that's a humbling experience. Yep. When you sort of have to sort of do it. Yep. And learn to accept that's what it is. You're helping the other person to feel better.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you're saying you have to put aside perhaps your feelings and your own comfort.
Yeah. Remember, they need a shower. They need to feel good about themselves too.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. Brilliant. Thank you. Very helpful. Yeah, over here. Yeah. Joanne.
I was just remembering times when I'd take James and Janelle, so when Janelle was still alive, and I'd take them out together by myself to maybe the mall or something, and James would be really, really loud, and Janelle possibly would be too, and so between the two of them, everyone would be, you know, gawking at me, and you'd sort of have to think, well, you know, they don't actually know, and they're enjoying it, and I had to put my own comfort to one side and think, you know, don't feel proud of them and think, well, they're having a great time and it's not about me, it's about them. So I guess that, you know, just putting your pride to one side, yeah, and not getting annoyed with people.
Thanks, Joey. Yeah, Tim.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Tim next, Amanda.
Oh, no, I was going to have him before me. Okay. We did a special torch camp a few years ago down in Kapanui Bible College, and I kept thinking of the alabaster box when the woman fell down to Jesus, bathed his feet and his head with perfume, and those clowns got jealous because of the expense. How we must be all humble and not greedy for money.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's always a challenge, isn't it? We want to keep the best for ourselves because it might make us look good. It might make us look better. Rather than giving financial support to a needy family or a needy child, we keep it for ourselves because we need to have the flashiest jeans to wear. But sometimes we do have to humble ourselves and go without so others can be blessed. Love it. Thank you, Amanda. Yeah, let's take a couple more.
I help out on Tuesdays with people with disabilities down in Wilson Home. And that really, like, you see some really hard out stuff there, because it's like really gratifying to see just how humble you can be. Like, you can just have such a humble heart and just go for it. Like, the kids just really, really can't do anything for themselves. So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh, Tim. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Tim. I'm sure it'll be good.
wasn't actually me, though. It was this young. He actually mentioned something really good. In brief, he talked about that God created us to, in other words, have a personal relationship with him. And part of that comes from being humble.
Yeah.
And also the other one that comes to mind real quick is Jesus is the great example. And so he came not to be served, but to serve.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it's very easy for us to think, young, that we're okay in ourselves, that we don't need Jesus. And it is very humbling to say, there's an awful lot of rubbish, there's an awful lot of sin in my life that I need to deal with. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. And then one over there, and we need to move on.
I think, for me, humbleness is in listening, too. I've got a disabled friend who I've known for a lot of years. Sometimes I go there, and he spouts out what's happening, you know, and it does go on a bit, and it's repeated and repeated, and then he'll phone me in the week, and he'll repeat it again. But, you know, apart from that, it's a real concern for him, and I need to say, yes, let me listen and maybe respond, even though I've heard it many times. It's like, You have to put, if it had been somebody, maybe an able-bodied people, you'd just say, oh, shut up, I heard it, you know. But no, you've got to be aware, I think, of listening to others, no matter what their abilities are. Yes, that's me.
I'll come to you, I think. Oh, yeah, just.
So I hang out with a group of able-bodied people and people with a disability on a Tuesday night. And I've just recently sort of been helping out, run the group. So it requires a lot of preparation and things like that and organizing and just sort of learning different ways to bring people together. And so I have a guy in my group, and he is in a wheelchair, and he can only help with limited things, but he always asks to help, and he's so polite, and he always asks if there's anything he can do to help, and I just think it's really cute. And then I sort of think, oh, when I need to get things done, oh, it's sort of going to take longer and it's sort of going to not be suitable. But then I have to stop and think and realize that it will help him feel good about himself if he contributes towards something, and then he can feel a part of what we're doing together as a team. Mm-hmm. And so I have to allow myself to put off the fact that I could get things done a little bit faster, but that will benefit him if he contributes. And so he has a little job now that he is best suited to him, and I think he's quite happy about that.
That's good. I think if we are people with disability, people assisting others with disability, I think this is a huge huge word for us, isn't it? And it's funny that it's the first on this list for the Apostle Paul. If we are living a life worthy of the calling, and we will be completely humble. Yeah. What about the next word? What do you reckon about this one? Gentle. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Now, often this word gentle, I think, is thought of as a little bit of a weak word, eh? You know, people talk about being gentle. In fact, if you look it up in the dictionary, it talks about being timid or having a lack of courage or spirit. And I think often in the world we live in, don't we? That's seen as a bad thing. But it's far from what the Bible means. For I am gentle and humble in heart. Did anyone have gentle last night?
Yep.
You're gentle. Yeah, you guys did have gentle. What did you do last night? Do you want to tell us?
So yeah, we just did a role play skit for a couple of items per person, and the first display was the opposite to gentleness, so we did a skit of what it is to be rough, and then we did a skit on what it is to be patient.
Yeah, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. Is gentleness something that marks out the way we live, the way we respond, the way that we treat other people in our lives? The list goes on. Doesn't get any easier, does it? I urge you, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, and be patient. Now, the literal meaning of this word here is being long-tempered. He's asking us to be long-tempered. We often talk about being short-tempered, don't we? But this is the opposite of being short-tempered.
You want to live a life worthy of the calling? Then you will have patience. Other older versions of the Bible talk about long suffering. Yeah. And being patient means, again, resisting being aggravated or resist being frustrated about things. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. I'm going to show you a little picture here. That's from my daughter's grave. She's buried in Waikamati Cemetery. And we chose three words to describe our daughter. 13 years of extreme physical and intellectual disability, and a lot of suffering in her life from her cancer, brain tumour. She was beautiful, and she was cheeky. But she was patient as well. And I think when we are faced with a physical disability, and in Janelle's case, an intellectual disability as well, patience is one of the things that we are called to show. Can I read you a little bit more from the book? I wrote this about Janelle. I'll just read a couple of paragraphs to you if that's all right. How can such a broken person be so beautiful? I sit here and I watch my daughter, all twisted and damaged. How does an evil cancerous tumour find its way into something so gentle and innocent and patient? Janelle's left side is weak and often very cold. Her hand is curled and difficult to unfold. Some of you will know about that. Her feet are puffy and her nails are discoloured as a result of poor circulation. She's unable to walk. And poor balance means that she can't even sitting unaided is impossible. The scoliosis makes Janelle lean constantly to one side. She has little control of her right hand and is unable to feed herself as she cannot hold a spoon or a glass. The tumour has also impaired her eyesight. She's unable to control her eyes. She's able to see something, the specialists tell us, but no more than a metre. Her eyelids are heavy and often half shut. Weakening face muscles means that her lowly smile has been slowly replaced by a frown. She's unable to speak. She communicates with us in very simple ways, and it's usually from crying. How can I tell what's wrong? When she cries, is she hungry? Is her head hurting? Maybe her stomach's aching. Maybe she just wants the DVD changed. When we go out, her excited squeals draws even more unnecessary attention to her. It was difficult to keep her hair tidy. She has a bald patch at the back of her head from lying on the ground and rubbing against the headrest on her chair. Her disabilities mean that many of the latest fashions are difficult for her to wear. And she needed to wear nappies, and that didn't help much either. At 10 years of age, the early onset of puberty has left her overweight and well developed. And when I wrote this, she's now too heavy for one person to lift, and we have to rely on the hoist. Yet tonight, as I sit here watching her, I see her grace, her warmth, and her humour. Isn't that what these verses are about?
It doesn't get a lot harder, does it, than some of the things that Janelle was asked to experience? But as people sat and watched and observed her, they saw her grace, her warmth, and her humour. The word that stood out for me was this patience. To me, Janelle, you look so beautiful. Your skin is like silk, soft and without blemish. Your strawberry blonde hair would make any teenage girl jealous. Those long, tapered fingers with beautifully shaped nails, how elegant you look. And I know how your smile can warm hearts in an instant. Your personality brings me so much joy. That giggle of yours is so contagious, and it's set off by the most unusual noises. The phone ringing or the beeping of the reversing van. Remember the night we pretended to swap flies on the wall just so we would hear you laugh again and again and again? We're so proud of the care and interest you show in young children. When we hold them on your wheelchair tray, I reckon the cancer has robbed this world of such a welcoming, inclusive person. I love the way you wrap your right arm around my head, pucker up your lips, then slowly pull me in for a kiss. With you, Janelle, there's always so much fun. The skillful way you can click your tongue to the offbeat is so catching. It's never long before you have Mum and Dad joining in, clicking along to the music too. We think you are so clever to be able to tear a piece of paper by holding one end with your mouth. And I go on about our family picnics, going to bed. Yesterday the surgeon reminded us that Janelle's body would struggle to cope for much longer. It's hard to believe she looks so warm and snug sitting in her lazy boy chair tonight. I can't imagine life without her. I think the point I'm keen to make to you is that despite having disability, despite going through the struggles in life, it doesn't mean that you can't do these things. We're not excused from them, are we? We talked a little bit about this yesterday. When people watch me, when people watch you, do they observe a life worthy of the calling that we've received? Let's move on. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Oh, this gets hard. Bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another. People are not always easy to get along with, are they? They have irritating faults. Even people in my church have irritating faults. And there's a real temptation to get grumpy with them. But Paul says this is not the Christian way. Where we've been forgiven at such a huge cost. And I think we've got to also live in that love. Time for you to help me again. And your group. Talk about the world that you live in. You might be a person here with disability. You might be a person here without disability. Give some examples together in your world of when you have to bear with one another. Okay? Take a couple of minutes. I'll get you to feedback to me. No, I'm interrupting your discussion there. Are there a couple of people who are happy to share on this one? Do you want to come up and grab the mic? Where are some examples in life where We're, yeah, your flatmates.
I was more wanting to speak from what I've witnessed at the camp this weekend with being buddied up with Janet, that Janet finds it quite difficult to communicate, but she's been really patient and has really borne with us while we've tried to figure out how to lift her and when she wants to have her showers and how she likes to eat and what she wants to eat and everything. And I think we've done just about everything wrong, but she's never been grumpy at all. She's just, she's been so patient and just gives us a big smile when we get it completely wrong too anyway. So yeah, she's just such a quite inspirational.
I think that's a huge one. I remember having to learn to use the hoist with Janelle. She was so patient and you know, would bear with us something terrible. So thanks.
Hi there, guys, I'm Jervis. I saw something that day on the internet, it was on YouTube. It was really interesting, and I had tears coming down my face. It was a letter from a mother to the son and daughter, and said, have patience with me, bear with me, because I'm growing old. Sometimes when you call me, I may not answer, because, and don't actually say I'm deaf, because I'm growing old, how many times you remember when you wanted a balloon and you just went on a balloon, 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 and I didn't get upset, When you were a child, I actually gave you a balloon. And you kept on repeating things like, when you love, you actually first learn ABCD, you said apple 100 times, you said, mom 100 times, and you said, I want 100 times. And there'd be times that I would wet my bed, So, because I'm actually growing old. But the lesson from this is that at the end she says, I hope you'll be there when I'm dying to hold my hand. Because when I go up to heaven, bear with me, I'll actually whisper in God's ear that you were kind to me. So what I'd like to do, just remind you that when you find it difficult with your buddy or whoever you're working with or whatever, just remember one day the roles could be reversed. So be kind, be gentle, be patient, and be bearing. Cheers. Yeah,
thank you. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, Amanda. Last one, and then we'll keep going.
I've got a wonderful pastor called Pastor Bruce, and I must give a lot to him. one day we tried to find the Pizza Hut, and it was the time that all the Pizza Huts were going to be closed, or Pizza Mart or something. Anyway, and then I said, the Lord said, go to Valentine's, because, and I said, I'm sorry, Bruce, you're flogging a dead horse. I don't think so. That's my sense of humour. Get with it. Anyway, and so I went to Valentine's and had a wonderful time, because he takes me out for my birthday and stuff like that, my dad.
Cool. Okay. Thanks, Amanda. Yeah. I think the last word that is in our list, hopefully, the last word in our list. Yeah. I flipped too much. I think it almost embraces them all, doesn't it? I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. And then the phrase there in the end, in love. It seems to embrace, I think, everything that we've talked about. Paul actually noted in Colossians 3, verse 12, another part of the Bible, these words, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievance you have against one another. Doesn't it sound very similar to this list here? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And then he says this, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Because of my children's disabilities, I'll try again. I've had the opportunity to be involved with Oakland Special School. Anyone been to Oakland Special School? And lots of people. Down back there, yeah, and I know others are involved in special schools. I'm not at the moment, but I spent a decade chairing the board of the special school. So I mentioned it the other night, I think, 140 children, young adults, they've got special needs, and both Janelle went there and James goes there at the moment. I actually tell people that Oakland Special School is the closest place I know to heaven on earth. So in my job, I get to travel all over the place and speak to people. And I say to them, I've been in lots of churches all over the place. This place here is the closest place I know to heaven on earth. Now, there's not many Christians there. If you took, for want of a better word, if you took normal people there, they'd think, how weird. Because they'd look at all the chairs, wouldn't they? And they would see people like my daughter and my son, their bodies not functioning as we might expect them to. There's a lot of noise when my James is around and the guy's in his class. And I reckon people from the world might come into the school and they might think, what a bit of a mess. But I say it's the closest place I know to heaven on earth. Why do I say that? Why do you think I say that? Yeah. Do you know where I see these things the most? Where, do you know the place that I see humility and gentleness and patience and people bearing with one another and love? It's in Oakland Special School. And I'm sure it's true of Carlson as well. I was talking to someone before who's a teacher aide there. You see, if you want to survive in these if you want to survive in these communities, if you don't display these characteristics, you won't survive, will you? I jotted down a few things. See, when we're in this community, you have to think about others. You can't think about self. We live in a world, don't we? We live in churches where it's all about me. It's what I want, and I deserve it. Not there, you won't last. You have to ask, what can I give? What can I give? How can I contribute? If you're interested in power, then you won't be found in a special school. Oh, the principal there, she doesn't sit behind a big fancy desk and a big leather chair. You'll find her down the hallway helping someone. See, people, they have to be together and help one another. Otherwise, the community won't work. And you know, if you're only interested in comfort, you won't be found in that community either. You know, for my children and their peers, it's hard work. There's not a lot of comfort. And for the teacher aides that are there as well, it's hard work. There's not a lot of comfort. It's a place that's marked out by humility and gentleness and patience and bearing with each other and love. And I think, Vanessa, that's very true of this camp. This camp wouldn't work, would it? And I guess I've been asked to speak on developing character. And I know I should be listening to you guys. You shouldn't be listening to me. I should be listening to you. Because life is difficult at times. But I think the point that I'm keen to leave with you and challenge you with today is that just because life is hard and just because we might live with a significant disability, we are still called. We still have worth. We still have something to contribute. And we mightn't like it, but we are still required to live a life worthy of our calling. So what's it going to be for you? I'm really be great if we can sing that. Is the song going to be appropriate or not? Good, yeah. Well, I reckon we should sing it now. And as we do, we got rid of the rubbish, some of the things that might hinder us. Okay, what are we going to do as we leave camp? And we're reminded of how much God loves us. And we've been reminded that we are expected to live a life worthy of the calling. How are we going to become people who display these things more and more in our lives? Let's pray together. Lord, we read this verse and it seems very difficult. These are hard words. And we ask that as we reflect together, your Holy Spirit would work within us and soften us and change us and give us strength. We want to be people who live lives worthy of our calling. We want to be people, despite our circumstances of life, who make a significant difference within the kingdom. And we thank you that despite our situation in life, we can do things that bring you honour and glory. And as Katie shared, it might just be our smile. Holy Spirit, show us the things that we can do to make our lives count more for you and your kingdom. I commit this to you. In Jesus' name, amen.